Hello and welcome to Johnny's Virtual Journeys, the Avatar, The Last Airbender podcast, Season 2. I also want to extend a special welcome to all the new Anchor listeners. This week, I began the transition from SoundCloud to using Anchor as my podcasting hosting site. And I'm still in the middle of working throughout all the kinks and trying to get that to work, but I am very excited to be on this new platform. For those of you who may be new to this series, well, to this podcast, really, Johnny's Virtual Journeys is really just that. A lot of people make vlogs documenting their journey through life, but this is really my journey through all of the stories that I love, be that books, movies, television shows, video games, what have you. This podcast mainly focuses on books and television shows, but I also occasionally talk about some of my favorite movies. A couple of months ago, I talked about the Secondhand Lions movie. The format is pretty simple. Just every week, I take an episode or a chapter and share all of my thoughts and impressions. I am not a story expert by any means. I did not study creative writing in an academic setting, but I am very much a story zealot. I absolutely love story writing and story craft, and I love just sharing my thoughts on all of my favorite stories. We are obviously talking about Avatar: The Last Airbender television show. I did season one. It was actually the very first story that I covered here on the podcast. And, you know, it's been a huge learning process. I'm coming up on 1 year. After we did season one, we talked about The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And here we are on season two. And I am so excited to be talking about this show again. So that is me. That is Johnny's Virtual Journeys in a nutshell. I do also have a YouTube channel where I do video game let's plays covering all of my favorite video games. And that's pretty much everything you need to know about me. So let's go ahead and begin talking about today's episode. This is episode 6, The Blind Bandit. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have been looking forward to talking about this episode since the beginning, because we finally introduce one of the best characters, Toph. Now, I probably jump around way too much saying which one's my favorite character, and I probably should just be honest and say it depends on the episode. In this episode, Toph is my favorite character. I absolutely love everything about her, and I think she is one of the best written characters of all time. I know I say that about Zuko pretty much every episode, and actually, now that I think about it, do we even talk about Zuko at all this episode? I don't think we ever flash to his story at all, which is weird. But that's okay, because we have Toph, and she's up there. In all honesty, she's a very simple character. You know, she's different from some of the other characters in the sense that Toph has kind of already arrived at who she wants to be as a person. Most stories are filled with people who are journeying from who they were to who they really want to be and who they really need to be. For example, this is a story about Aang journeying from the carefree little boy into the Avatar, the savior of the world. We also have Katara traveling from the incredibly emotionally compulsive, very inadequate waterbender into the waterbending master that she has become. And of course, we've got Sokka's journey, which is very much focused on his romances, but also just kind of him coming to terms with his incredibly logical perspective on life and being able to accept and live with sort of the mythical world that surrounds him. So all these characters have these journeys that they're going through, but Toph, we won't really focus on a journey for her that much. She's kind of already who she's meant to be. We've also talked about, kind of what I just said, how Aang, Sokka, and Katara kind of make this power trio. You know, Katara is our emotional one. She is our pathos. And then we have Sokka, who is the logical one, our logos. And then we have Aang, the ethos, who is the authority, the one who moves everyone forward, the leader of the group. The chosen one, I think, is another definition. But Toph somehow fits into this. You know, we've seen this power trio work so well together leading up to this point. It's very surprising to see Toph just fit in as if they've always been waiting for her. And I think part of the reason is that Toph is in a way kind of a combination of all three, as well as something totally different. You know, Toph is both emotional and logical. We see that she can be very feisty and very fiery at times. But we also see that she gets over her emotions very quickly. A good example is the dinner scene where Aang and Toph really go at it and get upset with each other. But then, you know, an hour later, Toph is totally fine and completely opening up to Aang, and they have their walk in the garden just before they get captured. So Toph is very much logical and emotional, but one thing that I think she's different than the other three is the fact that she is very confident. She is very self-aware. She knows who she is, which very much goes along with the fact that Toph has kind of already reached the person that she wants to be and needs to be. So all that comes together to make a very confident and emotionally secure, as well as a very mature character. And Toph, she gives that to the group. Up to this point, you know, everybody's been pretty, in a way, kind of timid and scared, and there's a lot of debate and uncertainty as far as their path. And we will see Toph bring a new element of confidence and assertiveness to the group, which is something that has been very much lacking up to this point. Now, there have been occasions where they have all been good, and they work together and they get by. But Toph makes this group even more powerful. And that is something that we talked about a couple of episodes when we saw Azula begin to gather her power trio with Ty Lee and Mei. And we saw that Azula's power trio was more powerful than Aang's. But now, Toph tips the scale once again in their favor. Now, it's Azula's power trio versus Aang's group, the Team Avatar, as they will become, as they will eventually call themselves. I don't think they've started that yet. Maybe they have, and I missed it. But Toph kind of brings everything back into balance, and that's one of the reasons why she fits so well into this group, is because she restores something that we lost at the beginning of this episode when Azula entered the ring. So let's go ahead and dive into a couple of things that I really liked about Toph's character, besides everything I just explained. So one of the things I like about this episode is how it really sets up a contrast to Toph's philosophy of earthbending. We start out with Aang going to the classes with, you know, the master earthbender. And there's a very business approach to earthbending. You know, the master approaches Aang at one point and says, you know, sign up now for a discount or something. And, you know, He treats earthbending like a business. And then we have the kind of WWF SmackDown approach with all the other earthbenders, which, you know, Toph takes part in. But, you know, all of those guys approach it from an entertainment standpoint. And the entire audience did the same thing, Sokka included. You know, they saw earthbending as, Katara said, a bunch of guys hucking rocks at each other. And even though Toph participates in that, she is very much separate from them. We see the group of earthbenders come together to bring Toph down in order to get their money back, and it shows that Toph is not really a part of their group. She participates, but she is not one of them. And it all comes into contrast with Toph's approach to earthbending. The fact that she's blind means that she has to listen. She relies completely on listening. And as King Bumi told us, that is the key to earthbending. That is what makes an earthbender successful. And by nature of being blind, very much makes Toph the best listener there is. We've all heard it many times that when someone is blind, their other senses are heightened. And we see that in Toph. Her blindness heightens her earthbending and makes her even stronger. And this all comes together to play in making her the best teacher for Aang, because nobody can teach Aang to listen better than a blind person. There is also a sense of mysticism around Toph. We get a couple of moments where you just see her in a very awe-inspiring way. You know, Toph is, she's a master earthbender, but she's a master at a whole new level. And there's a lot of buildup for Toph. Almost every episode up to this point has been foreshadowing the character of Toph, has been stressing her importance. And when we finally meet her, there is a very, very mythical, very superhero sort of air about her. And it's strange because at the same time, she seems so approachable. And yet at other moments, she seems very, very separate from everybody else. Like, she knows and feels and understands life at a whole new level. And I think that's even added in the fact that at the beginning of this episode, we review all the foreshadowing and all the buildup to Toph. So that when we get here, we just see her like, this is an important person. She is more than just a little girl who's really, really good at earthbending. There is something different about Toph. And I think part of it is that Toph has found a balance in her life. Again, I'm going to keep stressing this. Toph has kind of arrived already. She already knows who she is and what her role in this world is supposed to be. And balance is a very important theme in Avatar: The Last Airbender. It's the theme that Aang is trying to uncover himself. He's trying to uncover, you know, the balance between Aang the Airbender versus Aang the Avatar. You know, his normal life balanced with the many lives that have come in the past. And I think another important role that Toph is going to play, and that, you know, she needs to play, is teaching Aang about balance. I hate to spoil a little bit, but earthbending is going to be very challenging for Aang. We will learn that usually the Avatar will struggle a lot with one of the elements. If any of you have watched The Legend of Korra, she struggles a lot with airbending. And Aang's kind of weakness in bending will be earthbending. And there will be a lot more taught from Toph, maybe not explicitly, but I think Aang will gain a lot of understanding about balance and understanding who he is. Toph is very much wisdom in a lot of ways for this group. She is confidence, and she is wisdom, and she is assertiveness, and she is everything that this group is going to need if they are going to beat Azula. And I can't remember when it is, but, you know, I'm sure sometime soon we are going to have a showdown between Team Avatar and Team Azula, and it is going to be epic. Cannot wait for that. I can't remember what episode it's in, but it's going to be pretty cool. All right. So here in the last few minutes, let's talk about a couple of other things that I really like. Can I just say how much I relate to Sokka and his shopping problems? I know this was totally unrelated, probably not really needed in this episode, but I loved the dilemma he had with the bag that he was trying to buy. I do that all the time. It's one of my favorite things about the show, just how relatable these characters are. You know, it could be argued that this segment with the bag is unimportant, but for me, it made Sokka even more relatable, and I really liked it. Okay, so then there's a couple of things that I really didn't like about this episode. They're kind of nitpicky, but at the same time, they did throw me out of the story a little bit. And as we've talked about many times, that's really what kills a lot of stories, is when the audience is thrown out, when they stop and say, I don't think that would actually happen. That's the biggest challenge for writers, I think. And there was a couple of things that just kind of threw me out a little bit. Again, so much of this episode was so good, it really didn't ruin it for me, by any means. But they're good to point out. First and foremost, how did the wrestlers find Toph? I mean, think about it. Aang only found her because of a vision he had. That was the only clue he had that led him to Toph. Nobody else knew who she was, nobody knew where she came from. Somehow, the wrestlers did. What clue did they have that helped them find Toph? How did they know she was the secret daughter of the Beifong family? We're told explicitly in the story that nobody even knows that the Beifongs have a daughter. Toph is a complete secret. So how did they find the blind bandit? How did they know that the blind bandit was Toph Beifong? Like, it doesn't make any sense, and it's definitely a writing error. They needed to find her some other way. I don't know how. Maybe they followed Aang and Katara and Sokka to her house. That's a possibility, but we needed to explain that at some point. If we'd had, you know, somebody following them throughout the town, then, you know, maybe that would have fixed it for me. I think it would have fixed it for me. Okay, and then the last thing that really irks me is Toph's dad. Not just as a character, because he really sucks as a dad. We can say that. But the fact that he just sat on the benches and watched his blind daughter, who he has tried so hard to protect from all harm, he just stood there and let her fight the Earthbenders. I mean, I could maybe see him, you know, just letting her go and fighting. We've talked a lot about how kids in this world are not seen the same as in, you know, today's society, you know, that they are all looked at closer to adult status. Now, Toph is 12, but we've kind of established in this culture that a 12-year-old would be seen more like a 14 to 15-year-old. And so maybe the dad, you know, would be able to say, would let her go, but at the same time, it's still a bit of a stretch. And then what makes it worse is that he goes and gets front row seats. Like, who does that? Who lets their child go into danger and then tries to get the best seats in the house to watch? Like, I could see him standing on the side, you know, frantically worrying, you know, trying to see her, trying to find her, but, you know, leaving the ring to go and sit on the front, on the benches, that doesn't make any sense to me. It totally threw me out, bugged me every time. But, like I said before, it really doesn't ruin this episode for me. This episode is amazing, and Toph is amazing, and I'm so glad that we get to talk about her for the rest of this series. Guys, that's going to be it for me today. Again, I want to welcome all the new listeners from Anchor. Really hope you guys enjoy this series. If you jump back to the very beginning, realize this is my first time doing this. It's been a year, and I like to think I've improved quite a bit in this podcasting. So be patient with those earlier episodes, and don't judge me too harshly for them. It was a long time ago. Anyway, if you've enjoyed this episode, let me know by hitting that like button or following or whatever it is here on Anchor. I think it's favoriting, applauding. Yeah, give me an applaud or something. Let me know that you enjoyed this episode. And also, if you're new to Anchor as a platform, you know, that you can send me voice messages and let me know your thoughts and impressions of either the things that I've said or just the episode in general, you know, or anything Avatar related. Send me a message. I would love to hear it, and I might even play it here on the show and let everyone else hear it, and we can have a discussion. I really look forward to that. Yeah, and so if you want to contact me any other way, though, I will have links to all of my social media platforms down below, so go ahead and use those however you want. That's going to be it. Take care, everyone, and happy journeys.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.